This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In this, his final year in office, President Obama's trip to Detroit on Wednesday was a way to call the nation's attention to one of his most significant decisions, to bail out the auto industry.
There's only one Detroit, and if you're looking for the world's best cars and the workers who make those cars, you need to be in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is with us now talking about this $85 billion government gamble. And you posed the question in your column today for the news, Daniel. Would any president, Democrat or Republican, have done the same for this leading American industry?
Yes, I think the short answer. And I think, in fact, we have in our contemporary era an example of that. President Bush began the bailout by putting forth, I forget the number now off the top of my head, I'm going to say $14 or $20 billion to keep General Motors and Chrysler afloat so President Obama could deal with the problem. And I think if you look at President Bush's memoir on this called Decision Points, he talks about this and how he basically had to do this and felt like he had to do it. He couldn't take the economic risk in the industrial Midwest. But more broadly, I think we have to recognize that the patch of land that we inhabit here and these car companies inhabit is still vitally important to any presidential campaign, Republican or Democrat. I mean, we know that Ohio is one of the biggest battleground states there is. Michigan is very important in the electoral map, and certainly this was and is and will be a cornerstone industry of the American economy for some time to come.
Yeah, as you kind of spell out, these were tough calls, and there wasn't a lot of time to get things done before GM and Chrysler slid over the cliff.
That's exactly right, and I think you have to look at what this administration and his automotive task force actually did. They did bring and demand some rigor in exchange for the money. General Motors ended up cutting four brands. It got a lot leaner in terms of how it operated. They cleaned out a whole cadre of senior executives at both GM and Chrysler. Not directly under the orders of the government, but clearly when the new management came in at the top, they got rid of a whole lot of people. So you have a whole different management structure in both these companies. I don't think there's any question that you could say that this was a major achievement by this administration. Whether you like the president's politics or you don't, I think you have to weigh the result against the potential cost. And I think the potential cost would have been far greater than what the Treasury ultimately netted out of this.
Yeah. It certainly, as you think about looking at that big picture, the rigor and the house cleaning that came, they were needed, weren't they?
Well, they were. And a point I didn't go into in today's column, but I think it's really important for readers to be, or listeners rather, to be reminded of, is this isn't just GM and Chrysler's perspective. I mean, Ford Motor Company, Toyota, and Honda were very afraid of a systemic collapse. And privately and behind the scenes, they put together essentially a fund that was going to keep the supply base running in the event of a collapse of General Motors and or Chrysler. Mm. That has been reported since that time in books and in newspaper articles and things. But here were people who were in the industry who knew far more than anybody at the Automotive Task Force or any people out there listening who worked in the auto companies 20 years ago. These people were living through it, and they were terrified about what could have happened here. And they were planning a way to keep the supply base functioning so the industry wouldn't totally collapse.
Wow, what a story that is. Yeah, it was interesting to note when President Obama was at Cobo yesterday going through the auto show, he spent his time pretty much looking at electrics and hybrids. And, of course, we know that mirrors his administration's push for tougher fuel economy standards. Mm-hmm. But if you look at what the public's looking at, it's showing its love for the SUVs and the pickups and the crossovers, right?
That's exactly right, although I think a little yellow Corvette did catch his eye.
But, it did.
The irony of this is this president and a lot of other politicians who want to preach to everybody about how they need to be driving around in electric vehicles and hybrids spend all their time in large SUVs. Now, I understand the president has to have a special – it is a Cadillac, I believe,
the
so-called
beast. Yeah.
Yeah. Has to have a special kind of vehicle. But a lot of other people are driving around in their big black Suburbans, which is great for General Motors, obviously. But they're not riding around in those kind of cars. And I think we're really looking – getting to an inflection point in terms of electric vehicles in the next few years is more and more companies are putting more and more resources behind them. And at some point, we're going to have a real frank discussion in this country about whether people are actually going to buy them. And I think at gas prices, certainly the way they are now, I wouldn't expect to see a real uptick in those vehicles, at least in the near term. So I think we have to wait and see how that plays out over the long term. But I think midterm, people think fuel prices are going to be a lot lower than they thought they were going to be.
Reflecting on the president's visit to the Detroit Auto Show and looking back at the Obama auto bailout legacy, Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.